It doesn't quite bring it there because all of their models are coming out of one plane of reality, and what they are tasting of and starting to live at is another plane of reality. In fact, most of us are living pretty much of the time on the astral plane. We are keeping our bodies cooled out and it's all in order, but we are starting to live more and more in the astral plane. But our models about how you do it and what you're looking for and what's enough are all from another plane, from another time. So there is a slight malaise in many people because it isn't quite right. Now, the funny thing about it is, about that Divine Mother, who's offering all these blessings of music, light, flowers, spring and fall, and life and death, and the richness of the drama of every moment, is that when something has happened to you inside, it is all enough. But when you go to the Divine Mother to make it enough, it isn't enough. It's the way it works. As long as you think that what you're looking for is outside of yourself, it will never be enough. It's the way it works. What do you need? What do you need to make it all right? You need a companion. You need some stimulation. You need something to turn you on. You need groovy food. I need simple food to stay high. I mean, I really need rice and vegetables. Is that what you need? What do you need? What do you need? Every label you have of what you think you need is all a statement of who you think you are, and that all turns out to be wrong. That's the predicament we find ourselves in. I mean, we've sheared away most of the stuff. Most of us don't need Paul Masson with dinner, and we don't need bouillabaisse to keep ourselves high with special garlic sauces, and we don't need, you know, Chablis with our fish and the fish with mushrooms and cheese. We don't need all that. And we say, somebody says, I really need, you know, and you say, oh, and you feel sorry for them. Say, I mean, for me, man, it's very simple. I just live on rice and vegetables and, you know. It's just substituting one ego trip for another. I'm macrobiotic. Sure, it's groovy. All of the methods, like diet and so on, the purification things, are useful and necessary to help you, but beware, they are all traps as well. Every one. You think being here and listening to this business isn't? You think something's happening to you? This is just an external trip. It's another one. Another one. They all help, and they all hurt. They all help in that they bring you more often and closer into a certain kind of new psychic space more of the time, and they all hurt because they all catch you in models of how you think it is, and those models are what is keeping you from being here all the time. This scene, who are you? If you think you are somebody listening to somebody speak, Forget it. You're really in the wrong place. It's just another trip. I'm just sitting in this space, just here, watching this whole thing go down. I don't care. How could I care? How could I care? Don't you have a sense of social responsibility? It won't help. I have enough of a sense of social responsibility to realize that I can't afford to care. Because if I'm hustling you, all you're going to do is get paranoid. That's what the Gita says. Not in those words, but that's... See, Meister Eckhart reassures us. He says, it's all right. Because all of this is part of the process of awakening. When you see how it is, and at the same moment, it is all irrelevant. Try to clarify that. Something has happened to you and to me that brings us together at this moment on this plane. Not really together in oneness yet, but in all of our manifestations. With some, we're living at two levels in this room. I mean, we all dig we're here. At the same moment, we're all being our thing. We're all playing our parts from central casting. And once that seed has been planted, as Ramakrishna says, then from then on, there is like with an earthworm looking for food, there is a scanning, searching mechanism. You're looking, always, for the next message. For the sign that says, magic theater for madmen only, price of admission, your mind. Sometimes you walk by the wall and it's not there because your head isn't there. But it turns out that whatever you are doing is what you're doing and it's happening anyway. People say to me over and over again, if you don't share time with me, if you don't help me, or if I don't get to an ashram or something, I say, what if? Well, I say, well, go ahead and do it. They say, I mean, it's going to become terrible. I'm going to lose my center. I'm going to forget. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to become unconscious. I'm going to become a mechanical man. I'm going to become an automaton. I'm going, whatever the metaphor is, going to lose the spirit. Go ahead and try. Go ahead and try. You can't do it. Oh, you can do it for a few moments. Some of us would really like to, too. Right? See, we woke up, we saw a possibility, and then you're zonked. It's like you've been taken over, if you want to really go paranoid. That's the paranoid trip. The Martians have just, done it. They've implanted. Then from then on, you are a different being. You can do it in the other metaphor of Christ, which doesn't get you as paranoid. It could, however. Which says, he that is born of the flesh is of the flesh, and he that is born of the spirit is of the spirit. And then he says, lest ye be born again, ye cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. See, we of the Spirit all got born into these nature packages, got born into the illusion, got born into our desires, our needs. I need rice and vegetables. I need drugs. I need a chick. I need sucking. I need milk. I need milk. I need love. I need protection. I need security. I need to live. I need to reproduce. I need enough. We got born into those models. That's how we all end up being here. You couldn't be in that manifestation if you didn't play along with the game. Look what happened to Ramana Maharshi. At 17, he sees through the system, and then he goes into a temple and he just sits there, and the kids throw turds at him and rocks and ants eat him, and he couldn't care less. He's just... Well, if he started that at 1 month old, he wouldn't be around. On Arunachala, he wouldn't have been around. Because those at 1 month are called blue babies, and they don't make it. Poor baby didn't make it. You never know, you know? Born into a package. And in order for the package to work, you have to identify with the components of the package. You have to identify with its input and output, its senses and orifices. You have to identify with its control mechanism, its mind, its thinking mind. Its thinking mind. And so you come through the trip and you've been going along merrily thinking, cogito ergo sum. I think, therefore I am. That's who I am. I'm my thinking, my sensing, my body. I am this trip. And then the new baby starts to be heard from by one way or another, because this was the birth in which it happened. How many rounds were this the veil too thick in which there was no possibility that this would happen? That if you came into this room by mistake, which is the only way you get in here, you would say, what kind of nonsense is he talking about? And they're all sitting there listening. What kind of junk is this? And it doesn't make any sense to me. He's talking nonsense. Nonsense. Nonsense, right. Nonsense. Let he who has ears hear. To he who knows, no explanation is necessary. To he who does not, none is possible. None is possible. Hear that? Can't come on to somebody and say, wake up, there is a baby within you. When you come on to other people, they come on to you. And that's when the nails hurt. See, the Jesus story is the story of coming on to other people. That's not Christ, that's Jesus. Christ just lived out the Jesus story. He went around turning over the tables in the temple. Man, turn over the tables. This is no way to do it. There's a baby in you. Did that make the people who were sitting at the tables being usurers in the temple say, oh, we've been terribly bad. We'll never do that again, sir. You figure? I don't think that's the way it works, do you? It seems to me that in nature, the laws of action and reaction hold right across the board. They hold in cells and in energy and in humans and in social nations, institutions of all kinds. Law of action and reaction. If you're going to play in nature, you've got to live by the laws of nature. But that baby that's been born in you isn't in nature. Go ahead and find him. Where do you think you're going to cut to find him? You think you'll find a little homunculus? Where do you think you'll find it? You think up here? Open it up and find, like, well, there's the ego. We'll move that aside. Behind the ego. Ah, there you are. Think down here. Where? Think when you open the spine, you're going to find the chakras? You still insist it's all on this plane, huh? Well, the most interesting stuff has nothing to do with that. You're not going to localize you in time and space because you just happen to be living in a package that's in time and space, but you aren't in time and space. But most of you still are hyped into this identification that you're in time and space. Yeah, I always do this simple experiment with myself and with everybody else called the here and now trip. I always like this. See? Where are you? I'm here. What time is it? It's now. Okay, let's try 3:37 tomorrow morning. I call you on the phone. Hello? Where are you?
I'm here.
What time is it?
It's now.
Thank you. Go back to sleep. 8:14 tomorrow morning. Alarm goes off. Big sign in front of the alarm. Where are you? Here. What time is it? Now. 2:18 tomorrow afternoon. How about 4:16 next Thursday? How about 11:47 on April 13th? Where do you think you'll be? Has it ever dawned on you that you're going to be here, and it's going to be now? See, it makes it much simpler. Because that's what's known as the eternal present. You're always here, and it's always now. Go as you might. You're running, you're running, you're running. It's like running on a treadmill. I'll get away from here. You ever try it? I'd be hung up in Chicago, so I'd say, well, I'll fly to L.A. When I'd fly to L.A., I'd be hung up in L.A. Because in the here and now, I was hung up. It had nothing to do with Chicago or L.A. or anything out there, for that matter. So that baby lives in the here and now, the eternal present. The baby is eternally wise. It's every age. There's a beautiful quote from this book, another quote that the one I usually use, from a book called Mount Analog. This is a lovely little book. And in Mount Analog, the captain has brought this group on a metaphorical trip into higher consciousness. And he brings them to the base of the mountain they're going to climb. And he's brought them through a great deal. He's been their teacher and their guide. No. See, the thing to do with energy, that's all free energy being handed to us by this being, that part of us. Just take the energy and move it up your spine. You know, crying, fire engines, airplanes, like, yeah, and you can get high off it all. It's all free energy being handed to you. Do You sit around saying, I wish that baby would start. Man, I'd be climbing the walls if I sat there like that. Instead of like, wow, oh, thank you. Yeah, oh, boy. It's all free. I lectured for gave Darshan for 3 weeks in New York City on 3rd Avenue, 77th Street, and the fire engines just kept going back, and like, and you, oh, wow, and we were all stoned by the end of the evening. Free from the city of New York. How do you like that? See, Meister Eckhart's right. You know how to do it, it all works. See? That's what I'm trying to tell you. But I'm doing it slow. We have 3 evenings. And nothing to say. We're all just hanging out being high together. Well, in Mount Analog, the captain brought these people to the shore, and he's just found a paradigm, and it's all pretty groovy. And he says, I have brought you this far, and I have been your leader. Right here, I'll take off the cap of authority, which was a crown of thorns for the person I remember myself to be. Far within me, where the memory of what I am is still unclouded, a little child is waking up and making an old man's mask weep. A little child looking for mother and father, looking with you for protection and help. Protection from his pleasures and his dreams, and help in order to become what he is. All we need protection from is nothing out there. All we need protection from is our own models of the universe. It's those models of the universe that stifle that baby. And that baby, in this room, there is only one baby. And we are it. Because at just one level up on the frequency chart, on the scale, we all retain individuality, but we also share the subjective I. We share the place where we are one. So all of the words of unity, which we all use often as a hype, meaning close interpersonal, the idea is that unity doesn't exist on this plane. It can't, because this plane involves diversity and individual difference and discriminations and so on. Unity is a vibrational phenomena. It's another frequency. Can't measure love on this plane. What are you going to measure it with? How much Chanel number 5? How many times I say, I love you? Do you love me? I love you. You didn't say it like you mean it. I love you. Oh, that makes me feel good. Is that enough? Is that what it is? I love you, I love you, I love you. Let's all love. Love, love, love. Peace, love, peace, love. See, the funny thing is, if you are at the next vibrational, if you're living in that baby, if you are living in the spirit, then all those words have exactly the effect you wanted them to have, because they all are love, and they all are peace, and they all are truth. If you're doing them all from one level down, You're doing them, and all they do is create just the opposite, because you're doing them in nature. You're doing them in the vibrational frequency of the gross physical plane. So far out. You take a lot of Christ's words, and people go to church and they recite the words over and over again, and it's all profane. It's all profane because they're seeing it all at the level of subject-object in the world of objects in the physical plane, and they're seeing it all through their rational mind, which is the highest vehicle for this plane. You ever go to a church when you're high, when you're really high, and they sing a prayer, they sing a hymn. And the hymn is telling you just how it is, and it's just the way it is, and it's like about the spirit and love and the oneness, and it's blowing your mind. You say, have these things been being said in this church all the time? I mean, see, you sit, have you ever had this experience? You sit in let's say your method is LSD, which is a familiar method to me. So you're sitting by your fireplace, and you got candle and incense, some groovy people hanging out. You get really high, and you're in this place of here and nowness, and somebody says something really profound. And you say, yeah, that's the way it is. And we're all just talking truth to one another. Somebody says, hey man, let's go to church, it's Sunday morning. Groovy. We all go to church, and you open the hymnal. Man, there it is. And everybody stands up and sings it. Okay? They sing just what you said that night. And they're all singing it like they're reading a grocery list. Because you can either be manifesting at this plane as a mechanical response mechanism, completely mechanical man, as Gurdjieff talks about, or you can be manifesting at this plane from a consciousness that is liberated to one plane higher. So you watch rock and roll groups. One rock and roll group gets into this place and they sing a song that comes out of this place. And when you hear it, it gets you really high. It takes you right to the place because somebody who is living in the spirit, who speaks from the spirit, is a direct contact high. That's what it is. They take you right into the place where they are. That's the way gurus work. All they gotta do is look at you, or touch you, or think about you, and man, you're out. Because they take you into their psychic space. So the first rock and roll group does it out of that place. Then the exquisite development of mimicry in our culture takes over. And the next rock and roll group doesn't do it because they're coming at it from the spirit, they just want to be successful in rock. And they look at this other group and they say, they're making it, so we'll do what they do. So they do the same thing, but they're doing it from a profane place in their own heads. And you listen to it and it doesn't do the thing to you. It can be musically exquisite. They may be much better musicians than the other guys. When I was in this little town in the Himalayas, I went to an evening singing of bhajan, of holy songs. And I had never been to one before, and they were honoring me. I was quite a guest because I was a Western sadhu. And well, I am a Western sadhu. And somebody's given me a Jaguar to go on the speaking tour. And I keep thinking, wow, this is very far out for a renunciate to be drifting around in a Jaguar. Wait till they see me in India. Well, if it doesn't matter, it's all right. And if it matters, any of it's too much. At any rate, I was in this, I went to this bhajan singing, and there were these beautiful men sitting around with harmonium and cymbals and tabla and fiddle, sarangi. No, I was playing the sarangi. I used to be a cellist, you see, and I was a terrible cellist because I'd slide into the notes, because I never knew exactly where they were. But the sarangi, you play like a cello, but you're supposed to slide into the notes. So I'm a it turns out I'm a great, I'm clearly supposed to be Indian. So we were doing bhajan, and we did this first bhajan. It was very high, very beautiful. And at the end, I said, oh, wow, wow, oh, beautiful. And they all looked at me like I was a nut. It's like going to church and applauding. So I cooled that. And then...